You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca.
As Mark Spector from Rogers Sportsnet joins us in Pittsburgh. Speck, how you doing?
Doing okay. Can you hear me in there? I'm trying a new system here, man.
I can hear you, yes. Yeah, I can see you. You got your tie is on straight right now. Holy cow.
You bet, baby.
Gene must have tied it up for you, so that's fantastic.
Iron shirt too, baby.
Oh, there iron you go. Like, there's starch in it. I like it. Let's start with Stu Skinner and Brett Kulak. You know, Skinner had mentioned, hey, I've heard rumors for a while. You know, I've heard some people spec that Skinner asked for a trade. Had you heard anything like that?
No.
No, me neither.
I've not heard anything like that.
No. Doesn't mean it hasn't happened, but I haven't heard that yet. So.
No, not at all. I mean, and in my dealings with him today, I had a nice long chat on, you know, part of a big scrum with him today. And then I went back and we had a 5-minute shoot the breeze conversation while he was loading up his hockey bag. And I did not in any way get the impression that he was relieved to be out of Edmonton, nor is he grieving and, you know, a ruined man or anything. He's looking forward. Like he's the ultimate glass. You've interviewed him a million times.
Yeah.
Stu Skinner is the ultimate glass half full guy. He would let in two bad goals and find a positive out of that somehow. And even though it seemed crazy at the time, you got to admire him for it. Because if you don't, it ruins you. And he finds a lot of positives out of this trade. He's looking forward to his time here, and he's moving on with his life like he should. But no, I do not get the impression that he was pining to leave Edmonton in any way.
No. Do you think he re-signs in Pittsburgh?
Well, that's a good question, and a fairer question. I mean, the kid they have, what's his name, Murashov?
Yeah.
Is that correct? I got him right, Murashov? He's down.
Yeah.
He's their goalie of the future here, for sure. So there's a few things. Will Kyle Dubas decide that next season it's going to be enough to have Murashov and Shelovs together? Or Murashov and some other backup? Does he feel like Murashov needs a guy that's as far along in his career as Skinner? Because Skinner's going to take a lot. If you keep Skinner, he's going to take a lot of playing time away from Murashov. If you're going to keep Skinner, you got to sign him as a UFA, Jay. What do you think he's going to make? Is he not going to make $6 million?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe five and a half, somewhere around there. Maybe.
Okay. I mean, I'll tell you what. If I'm his agent and I get onto the negotiating table with as many playoff series as he's won, and I lay that number up against a bunch of other guys across the league who haven't won anywhere close to the amount of playoff games that I've won, I'm telling you what. I think he's getting 6 or 7, but that's just me.
Okay. The thing about Murashov is he's only 21. Right. He hasn't played a ton of hockey. He played 16 games last year in the ECHL. Then he played 16 in the AHL and he played 11 this year. Now, his 11 games this year were awesome. He was 8-2 and he had a .943 save percentage. It's 11 games. Right. He's played 5 in the NHL. So even if you look at last year to this year, he's played a grand total of, you know, under 60 games. Are you ready to want to bring him up? Like when you say, I'll take some starts, that's what he should do. Right, like you should have a starter who plays maybe 55, and this guy comes as a young guy and plays 27. And then if the next year he keeps rolling, then he's up to 41, and it's 41. It's to me, that's the wise thing, because goaltending is hard, and it's even harder once teams get a scouting report on you, right? So I look at it, hey, maybe they think Shelovs is the guy, and maybe they like, hey, we'll take Shelovs to be the backup. But the other thing is here, Spec, like the cap's going up, which means the floor is going up. And the Penguins, you're going to have to get to the floor, right? Like Malkin's leaving. And a year after that, Carlson's leaving, right? So where is their money coming from? Because it's not like they got some young guys who are all 1 year away from hitting it big on a contract extension.
Well, fair enough. I mean, I guess I'd say to you, the history tells us if you have the money, you can always find a place to spend it. Like you'll find guys around the league come play for you. So my only question, like I'm playing Kyle Dubas now and I'm looking at Murashov and I'm saying, okay, I think I agree with you. I want a guy that can, you know, possibly play 45 games next year and Murashov plays 30. But if I sign a UFA at 27 years old, which is exactly, you know, Skinner's 27, he'll be 27 on July 1st. Stu Skinner's going to try to sign and want to sign like a 5 or 6 year deal with somebody. you know, I think. Now, I don't think I want an expensive 5 or 6 year deal to play with Marischal. I want like a Stu Skinner for 2 years to play with Marischal. And then I want him gone and I want Marischal playing all the games. And I want a cheap backup behind him. So I hear what you're saying, but I also think Skinner just might not be in the right place at the right time to remain a Penguin. I guess that's what I'm trying to tell you. If some other team says, you know what, we'll take that guy, we'll give him a 5 year deal, he'll go somewhere else. That would be my prediction.
Yeah, I was looking at guys' contracts next year spec. You know, Lucas Dostal is 6.5, Gibson 6.4, Aiden Hill 6.2, Binnington and Markstrom 6, Grubauer 5.9, Logan Thompson 5.8, Spencer Knight 5.8. Merzlikins 5.4. Tristan Jarry currently is the 21st highest paid goalie for next season at 5.375. Like the goalie position, you know, Shesterkin obviously just got a pretty big cap hit, but that's significant. There's just not a lot of guys, you know, that it's going up significantly. I could see Skinner coming around, you know, maybe your six is probably right. I don't know if he gets as high as seven, but.
Well, he's certainly the same goalie as a lot of those guys you just listed, six.
Yeah.
He's right in with those guys. And if the cap's going up, that six is going to turn into 6.5 or seven. So, you know, you just listed a bunch of guys. I mean, I'm not including Shesterkin in this. He's obviously the best of the group. But, all those Merzlikins and at this point, Dostal and those guys, they're not better than Skinner. And they certainly are not, they don't have more playoff experience, and they have not produced in the playoffs the way Skinner has.
Mark Spector joins us. Spec, looking at the orders, and what's your expectations? You talk to Chris Knobloch. You know, you bring up the young kid. Well, not that young, but, you know, it's third in the AHL in goals, and Quinn Hudson is going to play with Frederick and Curtis Lazar. And, you know, their bottom six actually started very well with 11 goals in the 12 games in October, and they've hit the skid since with 7 in 21. Now, the orders as a group are still sixth most goals amongst forwards, third most goals amongst the team, so offense still isn't a problem overall in Edmonton, but you'd like their bottom six guys to kind of wake up here and get a pulse. Do you think Quinn Hudson finds a way to play more than 11 minutes, and do you think we'll see him get some shifts with some more offensive-minded guys?
Well, you know, we have watched this movie a lot of times over a lot of years. The guy from the farm who's scoring a bunch of goals gets called up based on his offensive, you know, work and the great job he's done. And they put him on the fourth line and play him 8 minutes and go, oh, man, well, he scored in the AHL, but he can't score here. Well, yeah, no kidding. So I hope we're not watching that movie again. You know, you know me, Jay. Listeners know me. I am the opposite of the guy that says, bring up a kid and play with McDavid right away. I am not that guy. But, geez, you could probably, if I'm making this lineup tonight, to me, Janmark's a fourth line player all day long on a good team. When this team has everyone and when it's playoff time and all that stuff, Janmark's a fourth line player. I'm knocking Janmark down and putting Hudson up, you know, to start the game if I'm making the line. So let's hope that Hudson gets at least some shifts with Henrique and, you know, possibly, I don't know. I'm not sure how he makes it onto the top two lines because they're going pretty good right now. But, if he's going to play 7 or 8 minutes, is there really any point here?
Yeah, 100% agree with you. And so that's what I'm wondering. And, like, it is – I know Roslovic's probably a week away. Maybe he gets in that Vegas game. We'll see. But I look at some of these guys here, Spec, and just, hey, the competition's starting to heat up. The one thing I find interesting is Tomasic got 2 goals in 11 games, right, since November 1st. That's double anybody else in the bottom six. Frederick 1-21, Mangiapane 1-21, Henrik 0-21, Janmark 1-17, Lazar 1-15.
Wow.
Like, why can't Tomasic play ahead of some of these guys who can't score in the ocean?
Oh, boy. That's a fair question, my friend. I guess I'm going to extrapolate on that and say, when's the next guy in the press box going to be named Mangiapane or Frederick? You know, when's that? When is it their turn to get the shakeup? Because they keep flip-flopping those guys on left wing. Now Mangiapane moves up, Frederick moves down, but neither guy's got a thing done this season. So, you know, we expect from like Lazar, he's what he is, man. He's a 13th forward. He's a sturdy fourth line guy that comes in and out of the lineup. We all know what Janmark is. We accept the fact he's not scoring much during the season, but he kills your penalties. He's got good speed. He's a killer veteran in the playoffs. I'm okay with Janmark on my team every day. But Mangiapane and Frederick are supposed to be making a dent here offensively. They're supposed to score up on the score sheet. They both signed deals this summer. They're both supposed to be middle six players. They're both producing like fourth line players. So to me, the next shakeup comes, one of those guys sits out. And, you know, let's make this a merit-based decision. And you're right. I guess Tomasik should play ahead of those two guys because he's produced ahead of those two guys.
Yeah. Like at the end of the day, at some point, you know, production's got to mean something, right? Like I haven't seen Tomasik making glaring defensive giveaways that would lead him to the press box by any stretch of the imagination. So, and I actually liked like that game. He went to the net hard. And you know what? I'm like, I don't mind Tomasik when he gets in there. He's not a difference maker, but God, compared to the lack of nothing. And I understand the politics spec. I get, hey, these guys got bigger contracts, yada, yada, yada. But hey, at some point, you know, you got to produce. Guess what? The Connor Brown sat out for two games in the first year of his deal when he's making $4 million because he wasn't playing well. So at some point, same thing might have to happen.
Well, I mean, it's you know, the coaches don't look at it the way the fans and us media guys do. Like, I look at Bouchard, that game in Montreal, you know, he was horrible. And didn't he play like 28 and a half minutes? He played half the game and he was horrible. Like, he was horrible. But they were behind and they wanted him to play and the coach plays in 28 minutes. So it isn't a merit-based society that we're dealing with here. I guess that's the place to start, Jay. It's not what we think it is. There's a whole bunch of other factors going into this thing. And I've only been around for a really long time, and I don't have it figured out yet, so maybe you can.
I look at Bouchard, name a guy who was good against Montreal. That would be my...
Yeah, but whatever. Yeah. We're just deflecting now.
No. The difference is, Spec, Bouchard, since November 1st, Bouchard's had a lot of really good games. I'm not sitting him down because of that. Mangiapane and Frederick have sucked for 2 months. It's a totally different conversation.
They're not the same guy.
No, but I'm not saying
sit Bouchard down. No. I'm just saying the worse he plays, the more he plays. The inversion here. Yeah. 28 and a half minutes is a lot of minutes for the best player on your team. It's pretty weird for me to see the guy that's the most glaring defenseman in that particular night log 28 and a half. I'm sorry. I don't get it, but I guess I don't get some things.
But it also came. Look at the shift sheet. He had like six of the last 7 minutes when they pulled their goalie. He was on the ice, right?
So that's a big factor.
But I just look at their bottom six, and some guys got to get a pulse here soon.
That is so fair.
Once Roslovic and Kapanen come back, there'll be no choice. Those guys will be either down the lineup further or out of the lineup at that point. Lastly, Spec, Sidney Crosby he can tie Merrill Lemieux with 2 points. He can pass him for most points in franchise history at 1,724. Yeah. You know, a three-point night tonight would be hard. The orders, well, I guess depends which order team shows up. If it's
Sid
a good
Crosby,
one,
man.
It'll
Sid
be hard.
Crosby, you can get 3 points tonight.
Yeah, but against McDavid, not really. The orders have, they've kind of, McDavid has dominated Crosby head-to-head here the last few seasons. And then, Spec, you look at the second line, no Malkin tonight. Like, Leon Draisaitl should feast on this matchup between Tommy Novak or Ben Kindle.
Yeah, they really like Ben Kindle, by the way, here. He's been a huge surprise. He's like 19 and should be playing junior. He's better than anyone thought he'd be. I think he's a BC kid, played for the Hitmen, right?
Yeah.
But having said that, he's not Leon Draisaitl, who's got 30 years old and a decade in the league, and he's at 1,000 points. And don't say I'm making a comparison here. Edmonton, to my eye, Edmonton has dominated Pittsburgh for like the last 4 or 5 years because they've been way faster.
Yep.
They play faster. They skate faster. As we've watched Pittsburgh go from a Stanley Cup contender to, you know, kind of whatever they are now, a fringe playoff team, I would say, they've slowed down a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, God bless Sid. Like, you won't ever hear a bad word out of my mouth when it comes to Sid Crosby. But putting, you know, that's kind of like putting an Indy car from, you know, 2005 up against Connor McDavid, who's an Indy car from 2026. They just build them faster now. So it is a task for Sid Crosby, as great as he is, and he is great. It's a task to lean him up against McDavid every shift. And I think if you look at the stats in the last 8 or 10 meetings, it bears that out, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100% it does. And that's why, you know, this is a game the Oilers should win, no question. I would think now doesn't mean they will, because we've seen a little Jekyll and Hyde from them. One last one for you on the I hear ticket prices are up because it's a big game. People are in Pittsburgh are pretty excited about this. You know, what Crosby could mean to Lemieux, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Going back to the Oilers, and the one thing, Speck, in the last 3 weeks here, Connor McDavid's, like, the turbo button has been pressed a lot more frequently.
Well, boy, has he been good, right? And, you know, when he's good, the Oilers are good. Like, he has. He's playing his best. You know, he didn't produce, like, there wasn't points against Montreal. I think he had 1 point, but, you know, it wasn't going in. But even in that game, he was skating like crazy. So, yeah, he's, you know, he's taken it upon himself after a brutal start for the team and not a great start for Connor. Right? He wasn't great in October, first half of November, not at all. He's really said, okay, I'm going to lead this team with my play. And to a large extent, this team has fallen. Draisaitl's line's fallen into play. The defense is playing so much better. The goaltending picked it up. So, but he's like peak Connor McDavid right now, and it's, every night, it's, you know, it's so much fun to watch. That game in Toronto, man, like, that was just, you know, like the first time he burned Riley on that one play, whatever that was, 5-6 years ago, that goal he scored where he walked through the four players. I mean, I'll never forget the goal, but what I'll never forget is the 18,000 people all inhaling at the same time, like gasping as he sped up. When he hit the speed button, that crowd in Toronto, everyone just was like, oh, it was unbelievable. Like, you could hear it in the press box. And then when he scored, there was a murmur around that crowd like, holy man, did you just see what I saw? So it's cool when he's this good. It's a pleasure being around him.
Speck, enjoy the game tonight. Should be a lot of lots of storylines to look for.
You bet, man.
There you go.
Enjoy, Jake.